Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Sirai, and Bob Beers on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome in here to another edition of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Here in our Town Fair Tire Studios, Ryan Johnston joined by Billy Jaffe. We'll talk with Bob Beers and Judd Surratt from down in Nashville where the Bruins get back to action tonight. A little strange, Bruins haven't played since Tuesday. Not often we come in here and it's been this long of a layoff.
Wait until later in the season. We have a 9-day layoff in between games. Nine.
What are we going to do?
Oh, I got a lot of ideas.
What are we going to talk about?
I know. It's one of those things, though. Early in the season, you'll see more of these longer breaks. You just will. As the NHL definitely tries to backload their schedule post-January. You know,
get out of the way of football season.
Yeah, post-December. December gets jammed up pretty good. Football season done. Buildings are busier with other things, too. Now, once you get past that January, I don't know, that December, that football mark, high school, college, et cetera, you have a little more open time than hockey becomes, you know, hockey and basketball become more the focal point. But I like this break for them. I do.
Well, I know the coaches like it, too. I mean, you get into, as you talk about, later on in the season, and we saw it last year down the stretch for the Bruins, there was, like, no practice time ever.
Right.
You know, it's you're playing a game, you have, you know, if you're lucky, a day off in between, you're playing every other day,
yep.
And there's no time to really work on anything because you're just trying to get your guys rest.
Right. And so, but the Bruins, and you're right, and now in this case, they come home from Carolina, they don't practice Wednesday, then they have Thursday, Friday, which is nice, but yet Friday they don't have like, well, they had everybody except Pastrnak on the ice.
Yeah, so. Little maintenance day yesterday for Pastrnak,
yeah.
Right? Nothing.
Yeah. Well, according to them, nothing.
Nothing significant. He's expected to play today. So,
yeah.
You know, nothing to get bent
he
out
better
of shape.
Play today. Well, no, you know, I mean, otherwise you're like, whoa, so was it?
Right.
I don't think that Bruce would be like that.
No, they're pretty good about that. Like when they say it's a maintenance day, it's generally just that. Like the guy might have a little... You know, little
sniffles.
Something, but
right.
nothing that's going to keep him out of a game.
Yeah. We're all led to believe that he's going to play today.
Well, we've got lots to talk about, even though the Bruins haven't played since Tuesday.
Oh, just because they haven't played doesn't mean there is
doesn't mean there's nothing going on. 617-779-0985, of course, is the number if you want to be a part of the show. We'll check in with Bob Beers coming up in about 15 minutes from down in Nashville. We'll talk with Joe Haggerty later in the hour. Judd Surratt's going to join us coming up at 10:20 this morning. And sandwiched in between all of that, we'll get to your phone calls as well. Obviously, Billy, as has been the case for much of the season so far, one of the big topics of conversation and this week is about the goaltenders again. And I don't feel like, you know, it's being portrayed by some as, you know, well, the Bruins have a goalie controversy. There is no controversy at this point.
No.
Jaro Halak has played miles ahead of where Tuukka Rask is. He deserves to start more than Tuukka does at this point, and he's going to start his second game in a row tonight.
Right.
And
but the people that dislike Tuukka, you know, that just don't want him around, say it's a controversy because he's making so much money. The controversy is going to be if he can't get back into the net, or when he comes back into the net, and then he's just completely, if he's not any, you know, where he needs to be, then you know you're sitting there and you're saying, you know, you've got $7 million invested in a couple this year and a couple of more years, and yet he's sitting. That would be, I mean, we're not talking sitting for 10 days.
Right. We're talking
about sitting.
We're talking about
backing up.
He's the guy who gets to play the occasional game against Ottawa,
right,
and Yaro Halak's playing 80% of the time.
And then I couldn't agree more than we have it. There's a lot of people that want it, though, right now, to have created a controversy. We live in the media world of controversy every day right now. I don't think it's a controversy either because the truth, you know, Kucherov knows he hasn't played as well. You could sit down and have a talk conversation with him, and he would tell you that he hasn't, and that, of course, he wants to play. But I guarantee he understands that Halak has earned these more than him.
I believe Tuukka used the word horse bleep.
Well, that was after his last game.
After his last game,
He did. He did, and then he had another answer that he could – similar answer, but one was more sanitized. It could be used on TV. I said we could use it on Nesson late. It's cable, and it was after 10:30
Absolutely.
At night, but they said no. and so that's why I'm not making the decisions, making big bucks. I think you got to remember something, too. And I always go back to, you know, there was a stretch, a huge stretch last year that Braden Holtby didn't play. And he's making 6+, I believe it is, maybe 5.5, whatever, 6 for Washington Capitals. He didn't play an awful lot in March. March, the time of the year when you need your goaltender to play, right? It was Philip Grubauer's team.
Right. Going into the playoffs, it was Grubauer's team. Like, that's a goalie controversy. He's like,
right.
The guy that you thought was your starter is not playing to start the playoffs. That's what you would consider a goalie controversy.
Right. I don't think the Washington, D.C. sports market is nearly as passionate nor as educated as the Boston market. So I don't think there was the angst, the vitriol, the everything towards Holtby there. And then he ends up going and helping them win a cup. So that's a controversy. It isn't a controversy yet because Yaro Halak so far has been significantly better. I have no issue with how Bruce Cassidy and his staff have laid out the starts. It's the way it should be early on in the season. And now, and I'll tell you what, he wins tomorrow night. Or I'm sorry, tonight, you put Halak back in. I think you play him again on Monday.
I think you do too.
You play him again Monday. And then right now, I think they're on a wonderful game-by-game basis. And with leaning towards Yaro Halak.
I mean, he legitimately he's the best goals against average
right
in the league.
Right now, yep.
He has the best save percentage in the league among all qualifying goaltenders.
Yeah.
You haven't lost in regulation when he has started. He's got 2 shutouts. I mean, legitimately, there isn't a guy playing better in the league right now than Yaro Halak. You can't sit him down. You have to ride it. Right? And again, there's nothing that says you can't go back to Tuukka. They will go back to Tuukka at some point. But as long as you've got a guy playing this well, you have to start him.
It's a no-brainer. And that's why it's a no-brainer right now. And we're not in March. Let's get to January, to where if Tuukka's only played 12 games. I'm throwing out a number.
Sure.
Maybe 15, you know. And he's on pace for 32 games or whatever it is. It's okay, then we can say we got more of a controversy now. Cuz now you're starting to wonder about your cap hit and your asset and everything right there. Let's see, but I'm all in with starting. I mean, it doesn't take a hockey analyst to tell you that. You start Yaro Halak against the best team in the NHL. That's the other thing. Tonight you're playing the best team in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean,
right now, today, here.
Look, ultimately, and Bruce Cassidy has said this, you know what? You're going to play the guy who gives you the best chance to win. You have to.
He's earned it, though.
You have. No, obviously he has.
Yeah.
But if you're a head coach in the National Hockey League, you have to play the guy who gives you the best chance to win. Bruce Cassidy's not sitting in his office going, you know, I know Tuukka's been struggling, but, you know, we're paying him $7 million. His job is to win hockey games.
Right, right, right.
And if he's going to catch – I don't think he's going to catch heat from upstairs for playing the guy that's winning hockey games.
They signed a so-called backup. They knew that he wasn't just your typical backup.
Yeah, they gave him 2 years and five.
2.75.
Yeah.
They weren't going to sign him to that deal if they didn't feel that he could play a significant amount. Did they envision him playing 50 to 60 games? No. No. No.
And I still don't think they do.
I'm with you. I'd really like to see him play, you know, enough, but not too much. I mean, when it's all said and done, this is where we're at.
617-779-0985. Obviously, that's a big part of our conversation this morning. We'll get into a whole bunch of other things as well. Ryan Donato getting sent to Providence this week.
Yep.
And more. Let's sneak in a call or two here before Bob Beers will join us coming up. Maria in Watertown is up first. Good morning, Maria.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Good.
Hello.
Couple of comments. First of all, I'd like to applaud David Backus for finally standing up and making a statement with regard to the hits to the head and the inconsistencies with which these are handled. And I'm hoping that other players will finally step up as well, so this nonsense can get straightened out. Number two is, you know, Tuca seems to consistently put himself in the position that he's put himself in now. And I'm scratching my head trying to understand why, season after season, we continue to have these conversations about Tuca and when he's supposed to be, quote unquote, an elite player. So I'd like your thoughts on that. And I also have concerns about the secondary scoring yet again, because now you've sent Donato down to Providence, which I understand, but where is that secondary scoring going to come from? And lastly, the fourth line gentlemen for the Bruins, no bueno. They're a combined like -9 between that group, and that's troubling. While I know you don't expect scoring from them, but they're getting scored on, which I think is a bit of a problem. Thanks for the time, right, as always. Have a great day.
Appreciate the call.
I'm full. I'm full, and I didn't even have my breakfast fully yet.
let's just introduce – she introduced the topic of Backus, who it looks like is going to be back tonight. But he called out – you know, he's basically saying, look, this is the third time this has happened to me. Right, where I've taken a hit to the head, there has been no discipline handed out for it, and I'm sure the frustration is magnified because of what happened to him last year, where he got suspended for a borderline hit that with no history and all that, and they threw the book at him. He felt like, and he's saying, well, wait a minute, like, now I'm getting hit in the same way, and the other guys aren't facing any discipline.
I agree. I agree that the frustration level has to be significant for David Backus, given his suspension when he hit Franz Nielsen against Detroit last season. I thought the Borowiecki hit on Vaakanainen should have been 3 games, just like Backus's suspension was. And by the way, Borowiecki gets suspended again. Finally, gets three games.
The first game back from his suspension, he gets suspended again.
Was it first
again.
Or second
game It was
back.
His first game back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he hits Cody Eakin, and he hits him up high. So then he finally gets 3. I thought the NHL player safety missed the boat on that one. I wasn't calling it for a suspension on Matt Benning's hit. I wasn't. We talked about it on this show here. That's not to say there wasn't head contact. It wasn't to say – I mean, we have to get – I think we have to make a decision if we're going to make head contact of any type suspendable or not, or punishable in some way.
Right, because we talked about that a few weeks ago, about the possibility of at some point just going to the college rule where any head contact is a penalty.
At the very least, a minor.
Yeah.
At the very least, usually a major. And I get David's frustration because he is a clean player. He got screwed on that Franz Nielsen. But if that's going to be a suspension, then
it has to be a suspension. Yeah.
Right. Then it has to be a suspension all the time. I get his frustration. I hope he's all right. I'm sure he feels okay now.
Well, and that's the scary thing. And we can talk about that a little bit later, because, you know, he starts, you know, if you is this the third time, if you hear some of what he was saying about how, you know, at some point it starts to get dangerous and you start thinking about it. And that's part of the frustration too, is like he's starting to look at it and say, you know, at what point is my career going to be in jeopardy if I keep taking hits like that? And, you know,
it's not about the now.
No.
It's about the future. It's about the 10 years from now when he's 44. Who knows? Scary. But I understand players take this as part of the work-related it's not a hindrance. It's a reality. It's just a reality that it's the risk that they take. But hopefully they can alleviate it. But I'm you know, I can't tell you. I get the college rule, but I don't always like it. Does that make
right.
sense?
Yeah.
I get it, but I don't know if I'd like it at the NHL level. Where else does she want to go? The secondary.
Right, hang on to all that because okay. we're up against it here. We got Bob Beers right. is going to join us. We'll get into some more of those topics coming up. 617-779-0985. It's the Sports Hub Hockey Show here on a Saturday morning.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5. The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe with you here in our Town Fair Tire Studios on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. By the way, coming up in about a half hour, we'll give you a chance to win some tickets. Go see the Bruins in Dallas coming up on Monday night over at the Garden. Mm-hmm. Always is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've got a fun game tonight in Nashville.
Hope so. Best team in the NHL they're taking on.
Bob Beers will be on the call of that with Judd Surratt tonight. And Beersy is joining us now from Nashville on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Good morning, Beersy.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Good morning.
Doing well. You'll never guess what we started with this morning. Yaroslav Halak making his second straight start. Obviously, that's drawing a lot of attention this morning and really since the announcement was made. But I kind of feel like Bruce Cassidy doesn't have much of an option at this point. You got to ride the hot hand, don't you?
No, I'd agree with that. I mean, he's deserved it. He's earned it. I mean, he's played extremely well. You know, Tuukka hasn't been nearly as good, and you know, that has to change. He realizes that. That's something he's got to work on, but right now, with Halak, I mean, who gives you the best chance to win? You're in the business of winning games. You know, you try to manage guys through a long season. You know, there's going to be some ups and downs. But right now, he's got the hot hand, and you know, like I said, he's earned it. So I say, why not? Especially at this point of the season, you get a tough part of the schedule coming up. You've got some difficult games coming up. Even with this homestand, but it, you know, you get some tougher teams coming in than maybe you faced at the beginning of the season, and you know you're going to need both guys as you move forward. There's no question. But right now, Halak deserves to play.
Beersy, from my eyes, there's a much more distinct or noticeable calmness to Halak's game right now to Tuukka's game, where Tuukka seems to be moving a lot more. We always know he's economical when he's on. It's calmer. I mean, do you see the same thing as I do? And because Halak, like for instance, in that Carolina game, that Justin Williams shot in the third, I mean, he made that save just look simple. He was just right there, nice and easy and nice and relaxed to his game.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's been in the league for a while, but when you see him day in and day out, I think you learn a little bit more about him. And you know, goaltending's not not something, you know, I profess to know a whole lot about.
Yeah,
you can just by the eye test, you know, you watch mm-hmm. him, and he is calm. He plays a little deeper in his net, you know, than maybe some other guys do. I remember talking to Mike Dunham, who was a goaltending coach there in Long Island for a few years, and mm-hmm. you know, he talked about Halak and you know that he's good. He was kind of a product of a weak defense last year. He wasn't there last year. Mike wasn't, but talking to people from the Islanders, just saying that they were just so weak defensively, and it was just kind of a rough situation. At one point, they were carrying three goaltenders, and it just really wasn't a good situation for anybody. So his numbers suffered, but he's always had the ability. We've seen him carry a team. I forget what year it was. Remember the Montreal Canadiens he was on, and
yeah,
and then he had good seasons with St. Louis for a little while. He's been everything that they've asked for, and a little bit more, I think, to this point. You know, he's been excellent for them. I've enjoyed watching him play. He's been, you know, we've interviewed him a couple of times. He's been really good interview, talkative, you know, explains things. So I think it's been just a great pickup for the Bruins.
Statistically, when you look at Tuukka's career, October has been his worst month over the course of his career. And, you know, he's basically a .500 goaltender with a, you know, with mediocre numbers, and he gets better later on in the season. Are there any theories as to why he's a slow starter? Is it just one of those things that it kind of takes him a while to, you know, to get into the flow of a season, or is there something more to it than that?
Well, you know, I hate to speculate on what that might be, but at some point, you know, maybe you've got to change your routine. And maybe he has. I don't know. I don't know that. But, you know, if you're coming in and you're a slow starter every month of October, I think it would be more important to be a I think you want to finish the season strong. Let's put it that way, right? You want to get better as the season goes on, but you don't want to start, you know, with struggles right away. It's a hard hole to dig out of. And, you know, once you dig out of it, you know, it feels like you're always playing catch up throughout the entire season. So whether whether a team starts poorly and has to catch up throughout the year, or whether a player starts poorly and then feels that, you know, they've got to really improve their game as they go along, you know, you'd rather just get off to that good start and be consistent all year long. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. And, you know, I'm sure that there are theories out there as to why, you know, Tuukka might start a little bit slow. But, you know, you would hope that he would change that routine throughout a summer, throughout as he gets ready for training camp, in the way that he approaches a season.
All right, Bob, let's shift gears to, well, we had one call so far. It was Maria, shocker, that she led the show off. And it was about secondary scoring, one of the things, too. So we were going to touch on that. So right now, Bergeron, Pastrnak, Marchand leading the way. I think we all know that. Krejci's, he's nipping their heels a little bit with 9 points. But after that, fifth leading point producer for the Bruins is Charlie McAvoy, who has missed 5 games. So are we at the point now where there's an issue with secondary scoring? It's kind of a rhetorical, almost a dumb question, because obviously we are, right, Bob? I mean, it's
we've got to
find it somewhere. But it's not that it's easier said than done.
Well, they're hoping to find it within, right, Billy? I mean, they've got, you know, you're expecting Dan Heinen to score. You know, he had the most points of any rookie last year on the Bruins. You know, you're waiting for Jake DeBrusk to kind of break through, and I think he's been on the cusp a couple of times, been a little snake bitten on some of his opportunities. You know, his work ethic is there, just that the points aren't quite coming for him the way that he'd like. He's going to get an opportunity, I believe, on the top power play unit here now with Donato being sent down to Providence. You know, these are guys, Bjork, you know, where's his game? He missed most of last year. So, you know, I thought that, you know, he might have been better served playing some games in Providence as well. He's shown flashes, but, you know, it hasn't really come for him. And then, you know, it's some of the veteran guys, too. I mean, you know, you're hoping that David Backes getting back into the lineup can pop some points, maybe on that second power play unit and spark some things there. But, yeah, there's no question. They're hoping that some of this comes from within, but how long can you wait for it to come from within, you know, before you got to, you know, make that move? And I think that that's something that is open for, you know, exploration for them right now to try to find that guy. I know there's been some whispers out there that they're looking, whether it's a third line center or whether it's that winger, or both. So, you know, right now I think third line center to me is a real need for them. You know, Nordstrom has filled in and done a nice job. He's had the ability to kind of move around the lineup and play different positions here, third and fourth line. Even the second line for a while with David Krejci, but I think long-term fit, you know, you want him on that maybe third, fourth line as a winger. So, you know, you get that bona fide center in here, and they were hoping that would come from within as well, that something would pop during training camp. Obviously, it didn't. So they came into camp with those needs in place, and, you know, they still have them. And until they get either one of these younger guys or one of these, you know, somebody from within starts to score and give some of that secondary scoring, or they have to go out and get it. I'm not sure how long they wait for that.
Ryan, you mentioned Ryan Donato getting sent down to Providence. We've talked many times in the past about how, you know, you believe that that can be a very good thing for a young player to get that, you know, experience of going down, riding the buses, and just getting the chance to work on their game at that level. How do you think Ryan Donato, you know, a player with his background and obviously, you know, with his upbringing, handles that this early in his career?
Well, the way he handles it will determine, you know, if it is productive for him. You know what I mean? I mean, you go down there and pout, and it's not going to be productive. You've got to get past that. You've got to realize, look, it's not so much a demotion as it's a developmental thing. You've got to go down and spend some time down here. You got to, you know, there's no question he's got the talent. He's got the shot. You know, I thought a couple games ago was maybe one of the best games he played. It was against the Canadiens. He was excellent. You know, he was hunting pucks. Pucks were finding him. He was getting the shot away. You know, he had the one goal called back because of the offsides. But then, you know, kind of reverted a little bit last game against Carolina. So it's just, you know, for him, it's just finding his game on a consistent basis, doing a few other things. Nobody wants him to be a Selke winner. Nobody wants him to lead the team in hits. It's just a matter of winning pucks, being accountable in some other areas, making smart decisions when you don't have the puck. And I think, you know, they just want to make sure he doesn't take shortcuts out there. So go down, play a lot, get some of that confidence going. You know, you said ride the buses a little bit, you know, carry your own bag, you know, all the stuff that you don't have to do when you're up in the NHL. And, you know, come back. And when you come back, okay, I'm coming back to the NHL for good. You know, and he'll be back. You know, it's just a matter of when. So, you know, go down and do what you need to in order to get yourself back up into the NHL so you can be here full time.
Before we let you go, Beers, I want to get your opinion, shifting gears here again, on Stephen Kampfer jumping into the lineup the last couple of games, right-handed shot D-man, something you're familiar with as well, my friend. What have you thought of his game so far?
It's been pretty good. I mean, he's a little bit more physical, I think, than maybe in the past. He's had a couple of big hits coming in. And, but it's, you know, he times it pretty well. They're clean hits. He's been fine. He's a third-pairing D. You know, they've got him on that second power play unit. I don't think, you know, he'll be there, you know, when they get a little healthier here. But right now he's their best option for that second power play unit. And, you know, I think that with him and Lauzon, if that's your third pairing, Lauzon has actually played pretty well here lately. The third game wasn't quite as crisp as maybe the first two were. So you hope that he doesn't have too much of a dip in play here. But and he'll be tested today, especially with the not having the last line change. And you've got a pretty deep team across from you in Nashville. So, you know, those two will be an important pair for them here today. So, I mean, Kampfer comes in as a depth defenseman. And if you've got injuries on the right side, he's going to play. And you want him to be, you know, somebody that can come in and kind of keep that seat warm until you get McAvoy, until you get Kevin Miller back in the lineup. And I think he's done just that. And even John Moore, Billy, moving over to the right side, I think he's done a pretty good job over there as well. He started to kind of skate a little bit more, kind of get a little bit more involved offensively. And maybe you see him with a bit more maybe on that second power play unit, although they would like a righty there in that spot. So, I like the way he's played as well.
All right, Bob Beers, we'll be listening tonight, 8 o'clock face-off down in Nashville. Appreciate the time.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Press the right hand, save. Let's go!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ryan Johnston joined by Billy Jaffe this week. End of this segment, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see the Bruins and the Dallas Stars on Monday night.
It always helps the mic's on. Will Radulov play?
Yeah?
Question mark. He played in Montreal, shocker, right? He was okay to come back. Then he's
amazing
hurt
how
again.
That works out.
Yes. Will he play? We know that Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn will play. And you never know, but I think it's actually scheduled for Anton Khudobin to start against the Bruins. He started the other night in Toronto. Bishop's going to play tonight. And then I believe Khudobin, who talks to himself in the food line, right? That's what Bruce Cassidy said in lunch, will be in that Monday.
All right, we'll get to more of your calls coming up here in a bit as well, 617-779-0985. But first, we check in with Joe Haggerty, who joins us each week around this time from NBC Sports Boston. What's up, Hags?
What's going on, boys? Come on, nobody cares about Radulov and whether he's going to play, Billy. It's all about Tyler Seguin and rehashing a trade from 5 years ago when he comes to town with Dallas.
What trade?
Yeah, we all know that.
How did that trade work out for everyone involved?
I don't know what trade you're talking about.
Yeah, it's ancient history now, Ryan. We don't need to talk about it until Monday. Then we'll look at the return that the Bruins got and see how Louis Erickson's doing in Vancouver, which is not very well the last time I checked.
His first goal yesterday.
Well, speaking of trades, Hags, Billy and I have decided that the first question to ask you is one that you are discussing in your mailbag on NBCSportsBoston.com this week, which is, what about Tuukka Rask? Have you reached the point? I know that you don't think Tuukka Rask is ever going to win a cup in Boston and all of that, but have you reached the point where you would be comfortable with the Bruins considering a trade at this point?
I don't know that I would be comfortable with it this season because I think they're very limited by his no trade clause as to who they can trade him to. I think after this year, it opens up to half the league at least. You know, and if you wanted to go that route, maybe it makes a little more sense to do it at that time. I mean, I think right now this is something, a situation similar to David Krejci, and I mentioned this in the mailbag, where I think Tuukka Rask is a guy that wants to stay in Boston, that likes Boston. I think David Krejci is the same way, and it's going to be a tough sell to get either one of those players. If you found the right deal that was going to make the team better and you decided that was the route you were going to go, it's going to be a tough sell to get them to say yes, unless it's one of the limited teams on their list. They've been in Boston a long time. They both have young kids. There's a lot of real-world stuff that goes on that I think makes them not want to leave, and understandably so. And above and beyond that, I still think you can't make the move with Tuukka Rask, until you feel like you've got the ready-made answers in place, and maybe you make a trade and you get a goalie back and, you're ready to go that direction. So I think you need to have a solution ready to go that they don't necessarily have internally, unless you're ready to, ride or die with Jaroslav Halak. And, given his streakiness over the years, I don't think that's, the right move. And the other thing is, he's not playing well right now. His value is going to be down. Do you want to, jump ship now with him, or do you want to see if he has a good November, has a good rest of the season like he normally does, or gets in the better place, and then you decide to do it? I'm not sure this is the right season. In the future, maybe a year or two down the line, I think that's definitely something the Bruins will look at, measure, and decide if it's the right thing to do. I at this point, I think it's early, but it's awfully telling that Jaroslav Halak is going to have played 5 of the last 7 games now tonight when he plays in Nashville, and that at this point in the season, he's already taking playing time away from Tuukka Rask, and Rask hasn't responded as of yet with a hot streak. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
I'm not arguing, but it's not uncommon, though, for, Tuukka. You've talked about it, Joe. We've talked about it. Struggle at times. That doesn't give him a free pass at all.
And slow starts too, Billy. This is becoming very common for him in October, right?
Right. Which is, I guess, is it a thing he can kind of refer to and say, "You see, I've done it before. Don't worry about me." Or is it just too? Is it too much now? I guess that's the question that Don Sweeney and his staff have to figure out. But we look around the league, and for the most part, and I don't know if this is even an excuse anymore, but we're seeing a lot of goaltenders struggle early on, whether it's playing-wise or injury-wise, not being able to find the game. I mean, Holtby let in a goal the other night that was egregious against the Montreal Canadiens with 30 seconds left in the game. And I'm not trying to softball it here or anything, but, I mean, when it's all said and done, patience, I think – your point about the contract and limited trade, very accurate value right now. It's just too hard. But I really just think when it's all said and done, patience has to play out in this situation. I don't think there's a trade to be made right now. I just don't.
No. And I don't think there's a trade to be made for the Bruins right now. This isn't even their biggest problem. If it gets to a point where Halak and Rask are playing 50-50 and they're both playing pretty well, which I could very easily see, playing out, or Tuukka Rask, gets hot in November, kind of retakes his number one mantle, and Halak plays a lot for a backup, but it turns into what it was with Rubin and Tuukka last year. I could see that playing out as well. But, goaltending, I don't think is the big issue for this team right now. Obviously, it's a hot-button topic. People want to talk about should you trade Tuukka? Do we need a different goalie? But for my money, the thing that needs to be talked about, or the thing that's more pressing, obviously, is getting another forward into the mix. And I think that's the trade that the Bruins want to make if they could, whether it's a third-line center, whether it's a top-six winger that can score some goals, a guy preferably, for my money, a guy with some size and some grit and some toughness, all of these things. I think it's something. The Bruins look like they're one, pretty good forward short right now. And I know their record is good, and I know they've started off really well. But I think at some point they're going to have to address that. I think they're too young and too small in spots up front, and the problem right now is it's really tough to make a trade this early in the season when teams are taking stock, and because the Bruins have the injuries that they have right now too, it's going to be difficult for them to make a trade because they don't have a lot of extra bodies at this point. And Don Sweeney and Cam Neely are in a tough spot right now, but the forward thing I think is much more pressing than the goalie thing right now.
There was rumblings around the team before the season about the possibility of trading Torrey Krug and trying to get forward help that way, bringing in a more high-priced forward guy and swapping out those salaries. Obviously, they didn't go that route. They traded McQuaid instead. Do you think that pops up as the season goes on here? If, you know, if they are looking for a more established scoring help forward,
I think it has to. I mean, look at the situation. You know, Donato gets sent down to Providence, scored the one goal the second game of the year, and didn't really wasn't able to get untracked offensively after that. I know he had a pretty good game, I think, in Providence last night after getting sent down. But he gets sent down, and they had high hopes for him. You know, Danton Heinen he's played better as of late, but still isn't really doing what he did last year offensively. Anders Bjork hasn't really kicked in that much offensively. A lot of the young guys, and Jake DeBrusk even himself is unhappy to this point with the way that he's played, you know, and I think he's going to come out of it. But the young guys that they've counted on this year, and that when you don't go out and get that outside help at forward, they really need to step up and produce and provide some offense behind that, you know, the top line that we always talk about, and provide some depth and scoring. And I think to this point, the schedule has been favorable to them, and they've been able to get by riding that top line in the power play. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as they start to play better teams, it's going to be more difficult for them to do that. And I think things are going to even out a little bit. You do need, I think, another forward. And obviously, Panarin in Columbus is a guy that everybody looks at. The price is going to be sky high. I'm really interested to see what happens in Philly. If the Flyers really fall out of it, I think Wayne Simmonds is a guy that's going to become available. And, you know, is he a guy you go after that checks a lot of the boxes, at least for this season?
I'd say another team.
You're probably not going to sign him to the kind of contract he's going to demand after this year as an aging power forward. But I think there are going to be some guys out there that are going to be interesting to look at and options. But like I said, I think you're going to have to wait a few months to see for teams to decide, you know, we're out of it before these guys are going to become available, and you're just going to have to make it through until that point.
The other team, maybe the only team that you could maybe get somebody sooner rather than later, not the only team, but I think one that's prime for doing something, is Los Angeles. Oh, my God. And I've looked at their roster a bit. Anaheim sucks, too. I thought Anaheim was a bit better than L.A. Oh, my God, Anaheim is awful lately. If it wasn't for Gibson, their goaltender. But, you know, L.A.
They've had a lot of injuries, too, Anaheim, anyway.
Well, they do, but they still suck right now. They do.
They're getting old. I mean, both those teams look old and slow.
Oh, yeah, my God.
They've got a lot of age.
L.A., I was never on the L.A. bandwagon. We can go back to the tape, so to speak, of this show. Never on it. But, you know, there's a few players that maybe you could get off that team that could be interesting. I won't go through all of them right now. But, anyways, that could be a team. But I'm with you. Unfortunately, the whole league is in wait-and-see mode right now. And are you dealing with a position of strength or weakness? The one thing that the Bees still have, they do have assets both on their roster, both in the minors and in the system, you know, and they can. And I think they have to utilize those now. I know they have in the past. They traded Ryan Lindgren, right, to the New York Rangers as part of that, and a first-round pick. It isn't like they haven't used that, but they still have some depth in that area. So I think that they can still make things happen. And reality is, if you're going to get a good player from another team that isn't doing that well, meaning the team isn't doing well, you're going to have to give up a young player on your roster. But that's part of it. You got to take those chances.
Yeah, not every prospect that you draft and develop is going to end up playing, you know, 10 years for you, especially when you have a ton of them all coming at the same time. There's just not going to be room for them. And as, you know, we're kind of seeing with the Bruins right now, you can get too young and too sort of one-dimensional in the players that you have. If you go that route, and a lot of them are very similar, and when you have that kind of overabundance or that surplus of those kind of players, you can look to other teams to address something, you should. And it's going to be tough for Don Sweeney. It was tough for him to trade Ryan Lindgren. You could talk to him afterwards how much he liked the player and how difficult that was for him to make that deal. It was the right deal at the time on paper. It should have worked with Rick Nash. Obviously, we saw what happened, you know, with the concussions and everything else, and it didn't end up working out like they thought it was going to. But that's, I think, the kind of deal that you're going to have to make, that sort of a player where you're going to get him from another team and you're going to give up probably better, obviously, player than Lindgren, a guy that's probably helped you a little bit, and a guy that's going to be probably tougher for Don Sweeney to give up when it comes time. But, you know, this is part of the gig when you're the GM, when you're in the front office, is deciding which players that you draft and develop are going to be Bruins for 10 years and are the kind of players you want to keep, and which players you decide, you know what, I like this player a lot, I think he's a good player, but we're going to be able to move this kind of guy and use him as a chip to get something that we need. And you know, they're obviously going to have to. And, it's understandable that they didn't get Ilya Kovalchuk. They didn't want to spend that kind of money for him.
3 years, too much.
Yeah, and totally understandable that a guy like John Tavares would clearly want to go to Toronto, and you really didn't have a shot there. So the offseason, it was limited what you were going to be able to bring in as far as outside help at forward. But, you know, it's clear, very clear now, this is something they're going to have to make a deal at some point in the season to really make that next step as to what they have in their roster, and that they're short a forward like that right now. I still hold out hope that a young guy might be, or maybe Nordstrom is the answer, a la Riley Nash, and he comes out of nowhere and becomes the third-line center. He's played well to this point. Or a guy like Trent Frederick halfway through the year maybe comes up and claims that job. I still think the third-line center spot is something you might not have to go out and get, but I think they're going to have to get help on the wing, a guy that can score goals, guy with some size at some point this year.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, Joe Haggerty, NBC Sports Boston. Appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, boys.
This is the Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Zerai, and Bob Beers on the home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
(617) 779-0985. It's hour number two of the Sports Hub Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, joined in studio by Billy Jaffe. You working the Nesson broadcast tonight?
Yes, yes.
Hour? Doing an hour on a Saturday night?
Saturday night, 7 o'clock. I think we have, for sure, it's Brower. I think Breakaway Live is from 7 to 7.30, and then pregame from 7.30 to 8.
I like the Breakaway Live.
Breakaway's good, man. It's good. It's fast-paced. It's fun. It's just a recap of the week and where players are at, what they've done, what they haven't done. It gives a nice, quick synopsis, I think, of the team in a fun half hour. It goes by fast.
Yeah.
If only I got paid by the word, that would be outstanding.
Before we get back to your calls here, yep, which we will do here for much of the rest of the show, Judd Surratt's going to join us in about 15 minutes. And then, other than that, time's yours.
He's just coming in from Tootsie's. I'm kidding.
Let's touch on, obviously, we've talked about the goaltender situation quite a bit all season long, but especially this week. But let's touch on a few of the other things that have come up here early on in the show today. Ryan Donato being sent to Providence this week. Again, we talked with Bob Beers about this early on in the show, but you know, he's a big believer in get some time in the minor leagues. We saw it last year with some guys where drop a guy early in the season, give Heinen him a taste of that. You know, with Danton Heinen, came back up, was a totally different player after that. The expectations I think a lot of us had for Ryan Donato this year were pretty high based on what we saw out of him at the end of last year.
But remember,
we were talking about this off air. It's a much different situation now coming in for him this year than it was coming in at the tail end of last season.
Remember when he came in February, the end of February last year? Where was the team as a team compared to where they are now? Significantly better.
One of the best teams in the league.
Significantly better, significantly much healthier. The lineup was set, and it was now. Granted, you were getting good performances from young guys like a DeBrusque and a Heinen, but in general, the team was stronger than where they are right now. That's not to let Ryan off the hook for his play not being where it needs to be, but I just think it's all part of the process. I still believe in him. I still think that he is legit potential for the National Hockey League to be a scorer. And I don't think there's anything wrong with time, even if it's significant time. And significant time, I mean by a couple of months down in the American League. I'll take a couple of months to give me many good years. You know, we can all sit here and say this, so I'll do it anyway. Maybe he won't be good. I mean, you could play both sides all the time. I still think he's going to be a good NHLer. I do. But last year when he came in, the team had already gone through their crud time. They have, they had excellent goaltending going in February. They had great energy around the team, and they were one of the top three teams in the National Hockey League. So Ryan comes in, and he's on a high coming off the Olympics. He's feeling good, and he knows his role, and he plays his role, and he's got other guys that are also playing better around him. So in some ways, very easy for him to come in and just do his thing, and he did it, and he fit in beautifully. This year, whole different animal. Coming in with expectations, with the responsibility to be a guy that produces right away. He didn't have a responsibility to come and produce right away last year. He had come in and just show it. Whatever happens, happens, Ryan. Whatever happens, don't worry about it. This year, there was, not whatever. It's get in and produce.
Well, not only that, but based off of the success that he had in college last year, the success he had at the Olympics last year, you could not have had, and if you're dropping a kid into that situation, you couldn't have had somebody with a higher confidence level coming in that point.
No doubt. But you, wouldn't you think that he would have confidence coming into this season, too?
Right, but it doesn't happen right away.
It doesn't. Right. And
that
also
can be the thing. Like, if you know, you don't keep that going right off the bat this year, and now it's like, well, wait a minute. I thought this was easier than it was.
Yeah. See, let's not forget that he didn't play much in the playoffs either.
Sure.
And so this could be a, okay, kind of a related moment to that where, all right, you know, we need to get some time, again, in the American League, some seasoning, some marinating time. And that's fine. I hope that I hope I'm not proven wrong. I still believe in him as a player when it's all said and done. I do. I think he's got a lot of goodness to his game. I think he needs to go down there and find it, and he needs, and not just the shooting part of it. Bruce talked about the play along the wall, play in front of the net. It's just the overall well-rounding of the game.
617-779-0985. Jerry, you're up next here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
Hey, guys, great show, and I really couldn't agree more with most of the points that you've made so far this morning. First of all, as you say, the goaltending, there's no trade happening there, and there shouldn't be a trade happening there. I agree with Joe. You got a guy that's hot. You ride the hot hand. You continue to work that situation. The top six forward issue is my pressing issue. But at this juncture, I also agree, now's not the time to go out and pull off a trade. The other night, he put DeBrusque up with Bergeron and Marchand, and he put Pasternak down. I'd like to see him kind of ride. I know it was a short sampling size, but I'd like to see him kind of mix and match with what he's got, get guys going that way. Then you're in a better position as the season goes along to pull off a deal.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
I've been pushing for this for a long time.
To break up the Bergeron line, right?
You can always go back to it. You're playing the best team in the league tonight. I mean, I would think that you'd want to go in with Krejci and Pasternak together. Don't wait till you're down 3-0.
Right.
I think mix it up. Mix it up every two shifts as far as I'm concerned. I honestly, for this game, you know, like try. I like DeBrusque up there with Bergeron's line. Love Pasternak with Krejci. Look, I love Pasta with Bergeron's line too. I mean, they're so exciting. They're so good. But where your team is at right now, and Maria a while ago brought up the fourth line, no bueno. They were really good for a while. Mm-hmm. They're getting some tougher matchups. This could be a really tough matchup tonight, depending on if they're out there, but I'm not ready to say they're no good. I'm not ready to say. I'm ready to say that they need to be better. But I can say that about a lot of the team. But what's that best fourth line? Remember, the fourth line had Donato on it for a while. A couple of games. Remember, it wasn't a true fourth line of Corrali, Achari, and Wagner. When they were together, that was your fourth line.
Right.
That was pretty bueno, Maria. But they haven't been as bueno the last couple. So I'm curious to see. Do you go back to that? And then who would your third line be then? You'd have Bjork, Nordstrom. You are going back to that because it's Bjork, Nordstrom, and Back is expected to be that. We'll call it the third line tonight.
Right.
So now you have Wagner, Corrali, Achari. I'd like to think that becomes your stable fourth line again. So I think that will make a difference. But I would love to see Bruce change it up. Now, practice on Thursday, he had Pasternak back with Bergeron. Does that mean it's going to happen tonight? No. But you'll see both. I'd like to think you'll see both.
You know, it's one of those things, and I feel like it happens a fair amount where teams that aren't getting that scoring depth, you look at it and go, well, let's see, if I break up the one line that is scoring, I might have no lines that are scoring. Right? But at some point, There's no way that this team can have sustained success with one line. We saw it. What happened in the playoffs last year? It just doesn't last.
More than anything, if any time Patrice Bergeron, one of these three, Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak are on the ice, if you're the opponent, you're thinking, "Whoa, I have to be ready now." One of those three, two of those three, there's a mild panic attack of, I really better be ready now. And then all three on the ice at the same time, it's full-blown defensive conundrum. Now, if you can split those guys up, so now all of a sudden you've got potential threat with Bergeron, Marchand on one, Krejci and Pasternak on another. If I'm the opponent, I'm like, wait a second. I just can't put my top pair against that one because if Krejci and Pasternak are going, damn, watch out. I think it mentally, you know, screws with the opponent a bit too.
Not only that, I thought it was interesting too the other night. Brad Marchand addressed, you know, he's obviously having off to a great start, but the goals hadn't been there.
He hasn't been shooting,
and that's what he talked about. He said, you know, I've kind of gotten into this pattern where I was looking to pass first. I'm always looking to pass because look, you've got David Pasternak who is
up there.
Exploded off the drop this year.
Yep.
You've got Patrice Bergeron, who's always a threat. Mm-hmm. It's easy to fall into that. It's like, you know, just look to get the puck into their hands. But Marchand himself is such a tremendously gifted player.
Yep. Shooter.
He's got to get his too. And so, in effect, like having the three of them together and giving him that security blanket and saying, well, I can always give it to Pasta, may actually take away from him offensively.
Might. I mean, a lot of times now they've looked for Bergeron on the power play, and it just because it worked that way. And now teams are finally taking away that bumper completely. So that's leaving other guys open. But Marchand wasn't always shooting because Pasternak was the one getting the chances, usually on the power play. So a little side note here, hopefully with Torrey Krug back and opening that shot up from the point, that opens up the middle of the ice in other areas too. But I'm with you on all of it. I mean, Marchand talked about his fact, and we talked about it at length the other night. I talked about the amount of shots he was getting last year, the last couple of years. He was averaging almost three shots on goal a game versus this year, which was one shot on goal a game, one point whatever shots on goal a game. I went through all that, and it was also the quality of shots he was getting last year versus this year. I mean, his one shot on goal on average per game was not Marchand style. Last game, the last half of the last game, Tuesday night, which seems like 3 weeks ago, but the last half, second half of the Carolina game, all of a sudden, that was Brad Marchand right there.
Yep.
That was Brad Marchand. By the way, in that game, Big Z was pretty damn good. 28 and a half
the
minutes?
The old man can still
something
bring
like
it.
That. Now, that's exactly where the coaching staff says, yes, Z, you're playing a ton. And he played the last 2:23 of the game along with Brandon Carlo. Z, because we got 4 days off in between games, and because you're a freak of nature, you're going to go ahead and do that. Was he perfect? No, you're never going to be perfect. Never. Was he good? He was damn good in that game. 28-28. That helped. That's what you need your captain doing. It might have been 28-something else, too. I might be wrong, but I see you.
All right, we'll go and check in down in Nashville with Judd Surratt coming up next. More of your calls on the way as well. 617-779-0985 here on the Sports Hub Hockey Show.
The Bruins, the NHL. This is the show that's all hockey.
He scores!
The Sports Hub Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub Hockey Show, Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe here in our Town Fair Tire studios. Bruins and the Predators tonight from down in Nashville.
How are we not bumping in with country? Thankfully, we're not.
Bust out a little Toby Keith.
I don't know. I really am not country. Not against it. I'm just not. I don't know it at all. But you would have thought Tom would have brought his A game.
Well, perhaps Judd Surratt was out and about last night in Nashville and can fill us in on some of the hot country acts.
Doesn't go out.
What's going on, Judd?
Oh, I was listening to some Waylon Jennings, some Conway Twitty last night. There was a great band on Broadway last night. It was rocking. This place is dangerous.
Okay. Sorry to bring my best John Anderson out for you. When is it not? John Anderson, by the way, is one of our all-time favorite coaches. Judd and I were, but he had a way about his terms. Okay, is how we'd start it. When is Nashville not jumping, Judd?
Holy smokes. Well, we were last year, I think we played on a Monday or a Tuesday, and the place was jumping.
Exactly.
So, it was packed last night, rocking, great bar. It was funny, actually, somebody who I was out with mentioned that the lead singer looked like our old friend Johnny Anderson, actually the way he looks now.
Oh, no.
You know, beard, sunglasses, great singer last night. They were awesome. I tell you what, if you have not had a chance to come down here to check out a game, make it – put it on your list.
Yeah, it is a great place to watch a game. It really is.
All right, Judd. So Bruins go with Jaro Halak. We've obviously been talking a lot about that this morning. And the consensus seems to be, you know, this really isn't a choice at this point, right? I mean, you're playing against a really good team. You've got a goaltender who's put up the best numbers in the league so far. That's who you start.
Oh, I think you're exactly right on that one. You know, and I think it was hard for Bruce Cassidy, if you want to go back a couple of starts for Yaroslav Halak after he posted a shutout, not to come right back with him. But the way that he's playing at this point of the season, I think you've got to be able to put him back in net. Let's face it, the numbers dictate, you know, not just the eyes, the numbers dictate that he's the hottest goaltender currently in the National Hockey League. You're going to step up in class here, and you're going to play the Nashville Predators here on Saturday night. The first team of the National Hockey League, the 10 wins. You know, and really, as you look, as the schedule starts to heat up in November, and you've got a lot of sequences of three games and four nights, or you're going to have a much more compact schedule, I think the goaltending will have a better chance to sort things out, and it'll give Bruce Cassidy a better chance to try and get Tuukka Rask going, because he will be an important component for this team for the next few months.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, to that end, you know, we haven't really talked much about, like, Tuukka's reaction to all this and how things have played out. You know, I mentioned earlier that after his last start, you know, he said that, you know, goal that he gave up was horse bleep and all of that. And, you know, but he's been through this before. What's his demeanor been like here over the last couple of weeks?
I don't think much has changed. You know, I think Tuukka's been a professional. I have not had a chance to talk to him directly about what's going on. I remember last year going through it when we were out west, out in San Jose, and the coaching staff was very direct with him. And ultimately, they got the right response. I don't know if it was immediate from Rask, but again, the numbers dictate, you know, once he gets past October and part of November, his game starts to elevate. Hopefully that's the same track record that you see this season with the Boston Bruins. I think the issue for the coaching staff, and Bruce Cassidy had talked about that, is what we need from you is we need you to start out hotter when the season begins in October. I was thinking about this the other day, and this was a conversation we were having last year with Anton Hudobin. Where would the Bruins be at this point if Yaroslav Halak were not playing like this at this point? And then you're playing catch-up. But as it stands right now, you're 7-3-2. You're in a good spot. But the schedule is going to get harder.
I was wondering if, you know, I was looking over some numbers yesterday coming home from the NHL Network. If we're done in the era of goalies being just pure number one goalies, you know, having the old 1A, 1B, and it seems like, you know, I actually thought that there were more goalies playing less games. Does that make sense, RJ? Am I saying it the right way? But then I looked at the numbers, and you've got guys like Gibson and Anderson and Hellebuck and Fleury and Freddie Anderson. They've all played 90% of their team's games. Sorry, go. There's actually 12 goalies that have played 10 or more games so far. So I still think we are in that era of still a dominant, or, you know, number-wise, number one. And, you know, we like it or not, Judd, right? You get affixed that $7 million price tag to your name. There's the expectation of 60-plus games as a starter.
Well, I think that's right, you know, but I also think that there's a caveat because, you know, the NHL schedule for the most part, rather than fits and starts during the month of October, it's a fairly light schedule.
Yeah.
And then it starts to pick up as we approach Thanksgiving. So maybe those numbers are going to shift a little bit. But I do think, since you talked about, you know, how goaltenders are being utilized, that I think The numbers bear it out, and for a lot of teams around the National Hockey League, I think it's a lot like baseball that they've realized I can get more out of my number one guy maybe if I play him a little bit less and I play my number two a little bit more. But regardless, you have to have – I think every organization, if you're going to try and win a Stanley Cup, I think you have to have two really good guys at the National Hockey League level, two reliable guys at the NHL level, and you really need a third guy in the minors because that at some point – injuries are going to happen, and they will happen to your goaltenders, that you may have to rely on a third guy at some point during the course of an 82-game regular season.
And as I look at all these guys, the 12 guys also that have played all those 10-plus games, there's a plethora of guys that have played nine or more. The truth is, you know, using a guy like Craig Anderson as an example, I mean, unfortunately, their backup there has struggled. In fact, they waived Mike Condon. They sent him down. They got a rookie in New York and Georgiev behind Lundqvist. They got nobody in Buffalo after Carter Hutton, relatively speaking. Philly always has goaltending issues. Boy, does that position suck for them. Ryan Elliott's playing 10. And then they
has for 25 years.
So point is, yeah. I mean, Jake Allen.
You
want to talk about a team that, by the way, that struggles with their goaltending that doesn't always get talked about around here is St. Louis. They want Jake Allen to be a number one. They want him. They're paying him like, but he can't get to that level. Anyways, let's move on from goaltending. Let's move on to the lineup. And, you know, you're playing against the best team specifically tonight in the National Hockey League in Nashville. This is where it looks like the fourth line that is what we got used to, the fourth line, Wagner, Corrali, Achari, back together, Judd. That's what it's expected, correct? And I think that means a lot for this team. Because that's an element, Maria brought it up earlier, she didn't like what the fourth line had been doing lately, but it hadn't been that fourth line as Donato had played the last couple of games there.
No, Bruce Cassidy has obviously had to shift a few things around. You know, and I also think, remember, based on the way certain games are going and where you are in the schedule, it's going to force Bruce Cassidy to play his line differently. You're behind a little bit in Carolina, 1-0 and 2-1. Bruce Cassidy has to go to the whip with more guys at the top of his lineup. Plus, because you have such a lighter schedule, I think it allows coaches, Bruce Cassidy in particular, to go a little bit longer with his top-end guys. So, you know, as the schedule starts to move on, you're going to need more of a four-line rotation. I think that Corrali, whoever he has played with, I think that's, for the most part, been a reliable group. You know, last year, it was a pretty special group with, you know, when Achari finally got back in the lineup, remember, he got hurt in game one against the Nashville Predators on opening night. So that line really never was brought together and had a chance to galvanize until later in the season, along with Tim Schaller. That was a great component for Bruce Cassidy to have. Health will dictate it. The way the team is playing will dictate it. But if that group can get back to some consistent zone time, being reliable defensively, a lot of D-zone starts, I think that's a big weapon. Question for the Bruins is, what does that third line look like? Yeah. Or the line, you know, that occupies right now Nordstrom along with Backes and Bjork. Can that line start to be productive in some sense? If it can, that'll be a big weapon for the Bruins.
We saw the other night, we haven't really talked about this, but for part of that game in the second period, DeBrusk and Bjork both saw some time on the bench. You know, I know that Bruce Cassidy is trying to get things going. He's trying to find, you know, some of that secondary scoring. Those are a couple of the guys that you'd like to see be able to accomplish a little bit more offensively. DeBrusk in particular is a guy who I think a lot of us had high expectations for and hasn't really been able to, you know, to duplicate what we saw out of him last year. Do you think that there's something that Cassidy can do? Because we were talking about this a little bit earlier. Do you think that there's something that Cassidy could do with the lineups maybe to tweak in there to maybe get him going? Because I think that's one of the guys that you're going to need to rely on a little bit later on this season.
Honestly, Ryan, I'm less concerned about Jake. Last year he finished with 16 goals and 43 points. Both were tied for 11th among NHL rookies. But I think the way he's playing, now granted, he was taken – you know, off a line there for a while in Carolina, but put back on the top line with Bergeron and Marchand, and you saw some immediate results. Yep. I think the way that Jake is playing, if he keeps it up for the most part, I think you're going to start to see some goals go in because he's going hard to the front of the net. He is fighting for loose pucks. He is a factor down low, below the hash marks. I think you're going to start to see some production from Jake and maybe some of the work that he's putting in, some of the residue will be some goals. You know, I think the issue for Anders Bjork is a little bit different. He's playing in a much different scenario. I think while he doesn't have the benefit, at least right now, of a center that can get him the puck and allow him or create some opportunities for him, he's going to have to somehow find a way to not only be reliable away from the puck, but to create a few opportunities for himself. And I think that that's part of the learning process for him. But I'm less concerned about Jake.
Well, all right, let's talk about spreading the wealth. RJ and I were just discussing that before you were on. You know, you mentioned, you know, we talked about DeBrusk up with Pastrnak, DeBrusk and Pastrnak switching spots last game. Now, based on practice, and I know that doesn't mean everything, from the other day, he had Pastrnak back with Bergeron, and he had DeBrusk back with Krejci. I mean, your opinion, my opinion is this, Judd. I'd like to see him split up a little bit. You can always go back to it, especially playing the best team in the league tonight. Where do you think Roost and his staff goes with it tonight heading in?
That'll be interesting, and that'll be actually one of the questions that I have for Bruce this morning when we do the coaches interview for the show tonight, is at what point do you switch? How do you really determine that? I loved that look in Carolina, and I love the results that the Bruins got from it. Pastrnak looked very comfortable playing with David Krejci, and Jake DeBrusk was a good mix playing with Bergeron and Marchand. It'll be fascinating to see how Cassidy approaches it tonight, because with the Nashville Predators, if you look at that defense, you're going to be faced with some tough guys in Ekholm and Josi and Ellis and Subban. So, you know, that's a pretty good four pack of defensemen that you're going to be dealing with. For some reason, they don't look quite as deep to me as they have in the past. Victor Arvidsson, is a little banged up. You know, I think he's the motor for the top line with Ryan Johansson and Philip Forsberg.
Oh, Johansson's good, though. Oh, my God.
He's been very good. You know, both of those guys have. You know, and Philip Forsberg is off to a very good start, a very streaky score, and I think to some extent, believe it or not, I think underrated around the National Hockey League. And they usually check, you know, you can check with the Bonino line. Kyle Turris is off to a sluggish start. But, you know, and this is just a guess, but I think if Bruce Cassidy doesn't get the results that he wants, or depending on what the score is at the time during the course of the game, I don't think he'll hesitate to make some changes and bump and maybe flip DeBrusk and Pastrnak. I really like that look. We'll see if he goes back to it at some point during tonight's game, depending on the way they play.
All right, Judd Surratt, 7:30 pregame, 8 o'clock faceoff here on 98.5 The Sports Hub with Judd and Bob Beers on the call. Appreciate the time. Enjoy Nashville.
Go have some hot chicken. That should go over well in your stomach before the game.
Oh, yeah. Just don't touch your contacts.
Get in on the discussion. 617-779-0985. The Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. This is Toby Keith.
Oh, I was gonna say,
I know this one.
Somebody named Marshall or somebody named I don't know. You know, I don't.
Hey, ask for a little country.
Attaboy. Tommy's on his game now. He woke up. Must have had a little coffee.
I think it's hysterical. Like country music. A lot of country music is just rock music with a little banjo in it or a little fiddle in it.
Right, and it involves either a truck or I don't know. Type of
it's the old joke about, you know, you play a country music song backwards, you know what you get?
No,
you get your house back, get your wife back, get your dog back, get your pickup truck back.
Gotcha. Yes. Yes.
We're taking your calls here, 617-779-0985. Some of the major topics we've hit on, obviously the goaltending situation, Halak getting the start again tonight as Tuukka Rask tries to find his game. Meanwhile, we've got secondary scoring issues and trying to find lines that work and all of that. So you want to touch on any of that here in our final segment, you can do that. Let's go to Dennis in New Hampshire has been holding. What's up, Dennis?
What's up, Dennis?
How you doing, guys? Good morning. I absolutely love the show.
Thank you.
I share your enthusiasm for the love of hockey. I also share your concerns about the secondary scoring issue that we have. Here we are. This is the second season in a row. I hate to see them get up against the trade deadline and go off and make some horrendous deals like they did last year and give away draft picks and we end up with nothing in return. I don't know if it's an issue with the management of the club not being able to, you know, judge talent, but, you know, maybe those guys, you could shake up the last nine forwards and it seems like you get the same player, you know, maybe they will end up being good players if they spend some time in the American League. But, you know, as Maria always says in Watertown, I mean, the window is closing. We got Berge, we got Marshy, we got Z. They're playing way too much, but they're going to need to make a deal, you know, to get a really good established forward that can put the puck in the net.
Well, as you're talking about the management, Dennis, thanks for the call. This offseason, right, and we've talked about this, they were in on some guys that it didn't work out. Okay, that's fine. You know, you went for the big fish. It didn't happen. That's fine. Because they also were able to then kind of fall back and say, okay, well, we feel like we've got, you know, good up and coming young talent that's going to be able to fill those holes. Now, that hasn't happened necessarily right off the bat, but that doesn't mean you abandon ship on that plan, right? There are some guys in Providence that they feel like, or even that aren't even in Providence yet, as you said earlier, that are in the system, whether they're playing in college or whether they're still in juniors, that are, they feel like are going to be players in this league. They just might not be ready quite yet. You know, somebody on Twitter earlier this morning said Trent Frederick, question mark. Trent Frederick
not yet.
Is not ready yet. If he was, if they felt like he was ready, he'd be here.
Right.
So he needs some more time. Now, does that take until January? Does that take until next year? You know, we don't know. But at some point, they feel like this is a guy who's going to be able to help out on this team. It's just a question of, when is he going to be ready to do that? I think they hoped that some of these guys would be ready right off the bat. It hasn't necessarily shown itself to be true yet.
What they hoped was Forsbacka Carlson would be ready.
Right.
And he's not.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he's going to be, quite honestly. I don't watch enough Providence. I watch highlights. I talk to people down there. By the way, there's a player down there that the Boston Bruins signed a few weeks ago that it's kind of interesting. His name's Jan Kovar, Czech elite league or extra league player. He's 28 years old, played in Pilsen in the Czech league, and then the last couple of years in the KHL, where he did put up some really good numbers. He's about 5'11", but 215 pounds, and he's got about 5 points in three or four games now in Providence. Great shot, great hands. I've talked to two people this morning, texted with him, you know, thinks the game really well. Big issue, question mark for him is, does he skate well enough for the NHL? And that's the big question mark. So I don't know. I don't know if you're going to know until you see him up here.
Right.
Wouldn't surprise me if he gets a chance sooner rather than later. But reports, and this is what was a report on him before he came over, was, we know he can score, but can he play at the pace that needs to be?
Right.
We don't know yet. But anyways, that's the type of guy you could bring up, too.
Right. But point being, you know, look, we've talked a little bit about it earlier this morning with Haggerty and whatnot about trade possibilities. And that seems like it's a ways off anyway, because as we mentioned, teams don't know what they are yet. They're still trying to figure that out.
No.
Teams aren't going to be willing to blow up what they've got if they feel like that they've got a chance to rebound from a slow start and make the playoffs. So you're a ways off of that. Point being that by the time you get around to teams making trades, some of these guys might be back. You know, we're looking at Ryan Donato. One goal so far, he gets sent to Providence. We have no idea how long he's going to be there. Could be the Danton Heinen. We send him down for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he comes
back and he's an NHL caliber player for you every night.
Yeah. You know, we haven't even touched on this one. And I don't know there's really anything more to say, but this is a big difference in this team. Charlie McAvoy not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was playing, it was still a different Charlie McAvoy than I think what we saw at times last year. He's so good. He is so good. And it hadn't been quite the same. Turning of the net, you know, that wonderful ability of his to take an angle that you're like, where's he going? And the next thing you know, he's a stride past the other guy who's chasing him. And we haven't seen that. So I'm not getting off that other subject, but Barry and I would, especially Barry, he always says your offense starts from your defense. And the Bruins have been missing that, especially in Charlie. And we don't really know what's going on.
They're giving us the vague upper body injury.
I am told nothing related to the heart.
Well, that's good.
Nothing. That's what I was told.
Because they kind of hinted at or said that, you know, this was something like he took a hit in the Edmonton game,
right.
And then he wasn't feeling right for a while.
But he
after
played
that.
A few games, and then he wasn't feeling well after that.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, we can do all the surmising in the world, concussion. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of upper bodiness that could not feel right after taking a hit.
Right. I feel like it's not 100% kind of thing.
They miss Kevin, obviously, who's skating but not holding a stick. Another 2 weeks still. They miss Charlie significantly. I mean, his ability to slide around the ice and shift gears and maneuver with the puck, that's a big loss for these guys.
We have a special guest on the line. Scott in Wrentham is up next on the Sports Hub Hockey Show. What's up, Zoe?
What's up? What's going on?
What's up?
What's up with you?
I ain't talking hockey. I'm going to talk Nashville. I'm there next week.
Ah, nice.
You're already looking forward to it.
All right.
Forget about the Packer game tomorrow night. It's already looking forward to Nashville.
I already got reservations down at the Palm. I'm going to go out to dinner with my boy, Wycheck.
Nice.
And is this town ready for me, Billy?
I don't think so. So right across the street is Bridgestone Arena from the Palm. And, see if there's a game maybe on Saturday when you guys are in there. You can go there. You'd love it. The town is not ready for you, Zoe. Do you have a pair of, I was going to say another term for cowboy boots. But
I got cowboy boots.
Okay. Well, you wear them. You wear them. Get those tight acid wash jeans from your 1980 collection, Zoe.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you got a few of those, maybe 90s.
Hey.
Get going.
Hey, now, spicy chicken with pickles is a thing there, right?
Hot chicken.
Hot chicken.
I have only had medium chicken a while ago. I want you to try the hot chicken and tell me what you think.
Well, I want to enjoy it. I don't want to burn my lips off.
Yeah, they love it down there. It's a great town.
Ticket prices through the roof. You can't find a ticket for this game or a flight 3 days in or after.
Really? Good.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure the Bruins people, some of them, had a good time last night down there because it's one of those cities that is very inviting. And very inviting to visitors, they are, and Broadway, and I'm sure that some of our people had fun, and that's a normal thing to do there.
All right, guys, good job. Keep slapping each other around in there.
Nothing like a little morning from Zoe.
All right, we got a couple minutes to go. Let me just.
Do I go around the league or what?
Yeah.
What's
going on around the league? Austin Matthews.
He's out for another 3, if not 4 weeks. Shoulder injury, took a big hit last week. A big difference for this team. They're not scoring now. Shocker. And they're still not defending well. But we said since day one that their defense is their biggest Achilles heel in Toronto. And they've lost two in a row. They're not scoring. They lost to Dallas in their last game. By the way, Anton Khudobin did play in that game and was very Anton Khudobin-like in that game. Made some he giveth and taketh in the same game and sometimes in the same shift, but his team got the victory. Running around the league quickly, Nashville and Tampa played the other night in a really good game. Pecorine, who the Bruins might see tonight, I would think he would play again. He'd been out for 5 games with an injury. He came back and played very well to the point where I was like, oh, I'm impressed with Pekka. I'm not always overly impressed. I mean, he's a big guy, sometimes slides a bit much. But here he is, a Vezina Trophy guy, and it's far be it for me to say I'm not impressed. But point is, I was impressed with him. This team is good. Pekka gives them that extra element, handles the puck real well, something to keep an eye on. Tampa Bay goes out and signs Yanni Gourde to a 6-year deal, a little over 5.1, the average value it's going to be starting next year. Here's a guy that was not drafted in the Quebec Junior Hockey League. He wasn't drafted in the NHL. He had to slug his way through scrap his way through the East Coast League, the American League, gets up to the NHL 2 years ago. And now has been working on the paltry $1 million a year deal. Now he's got 30-plus million coming his way.
Just real quick, I ask you about the New York Islanders. 4 straight wins, couple of them over Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And scoring 6 goals on a fairly regular basis.
Without John Tavares.
without John Tavares.
Yeah, Anders Lee scoring a lot, their captain. Josh Bailey picking up points. They still have Matt Barzell, who actually hasn't been as prolific, but he's still doing pretty damn well. You know what? I give Barry Trotz a ton. It's about their defense, though, and they hit six goals a game against Pittsburgh the other night, two games ago. Pittsburgh was coming off a beautiful road trip out west, and Pitt wasn't focused for that game. And then it was a tighter game. By the way,
they beat him in a shootout on Thursday.
If you have a chance, go watch those highlights of that game. Tommy Grice, the goalie that played, made an unbelievable poke check a la Billy Smith, and then made a stand-up two-pad stack save in the shootout too. The poke check was on Sidney Crosby, so that was fun to watch right there. Besides that, I think that's I mean, there's a lot of other stuff, but
all
I
right.
don't run it.
7 o'clock tonight on Nesson for a full hour pregame.
Yes.
And 8 o'clock faceoff, of course.
Maybe
on
I'll
Nesson
do
and
my
on,
I did,
on, right here on
the other night.
Sports
I flossed up. On the air after the end of shootout. Nobody saw it because it was during the Tuesday night game. I did. So maybe I'll do a Texas or a Nashville two step. I'm maybe in this game. Too. We'll see.
When you said you flossed on the air, I thought you meant you were flossing your teeth.
Well, that shows how old you are, and I'm older than you are.
That's not the first thing I think of when you say you flossed on the air.
Yeah,
it was you dancing. But I look forward to
bad hips, though. Bad hips.
I look forward to that tonight.
All right.
See you,
bud.
You're listening to the Sports Hub Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.